right, good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, June 29th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday. It is 62 degrees and very cloudy here in upstate New York. We have about a week's worth of rain coming. And it feels a little bit like fall up here for, oh, I don't know, just about the start of July. Kind of is par for the course. We had the coldest winter since I remembered, since the 70s this summer, or I mean this summer. That's what it feels like now, this winter. And it's been a really wet, dank, cool summer as well. Nothing's grown very well as far as vegetables go, but God, the trees and the grass are doing great. I guess I can't complain. We talked to Zori this weekend briefly. I think it was Friday, maybe. And it was triple digits in the Pacific Northwest. So that's pretty nasty. I think I would rather take 62 degrees over 116 any day. So I have no idea where we left off. I am still sick with this plague that I've had since last week. And I literally feel like I've gotten run over by a truck here. And then, 7 days a week. This weekend is just back-to-back shows from the first thing I get up in the morning until I go to bed, so I don't really get any rest on the weekend. I'm trying to catch up, and if you hear me wheezing, yeah, it's me. I think we talked about TISA, which was the trade bill for services that pretty much said that large internet global conglomerates that are spying on you don't need to follow the rules that were pushed for privacy at one point in Europe, especially Google and Facebook were the two that I thought there was a lawsuit in Europe that had said, and they did, they had to build data centers local in the country to keep the end user data safe and within that country. But this new TISA bill says, no, you don't have to do that anymore. Now we can just keep it at a central location. So NSA data center in Utah, I'm sure everything is going to be stored there on their pound of DNA flesh Jabba the Hutt storage facility. I don't know. We talked about that one time. My brain's too slow right now, though, so don't worry about it. We'll talk about that another day. I think just because we're talking about TPP, TISA, TIPA, PIPA, SIPA, African deal, one of the things that I saw too doing my Fukushima news this weekend, and oh, that was the other thing. So to add insult to injury, I know a few people have been complaining that on the UCY news page that half the feeds have stopped feeding in of all my news that I keep every day. And guess what? Well, Facebook stopped allowing any RSS feeds in or out from external applications or to external applications. So, probably 8 months ago, I had cracked that nut and had managed to automate. I mean, all I had to do was post it in one place and then it posted everywhere. And I literally had categories. So, I had this tool that would go out and search categories for my news and then post them. So like Fukushima in particular, anytime it scanned and it found Fukushima news out of my four or five sources that I covered, it would post it to my Fukushima page, which then would post it to my Fukushima website. It would all be automatic. And I have five or six different areas of expertise that I cover from the different pages, and they've all stopped now. And I did find verification over the weekend that yes, Facebook doesn't allow that stuff anymore. So, we're talking about another thing with the TPP is copyright, and we see that they're trying to clamp down on sharing information because, hey, we have that Google Truth algorithm and the Truth Division. They don't want us spreading the truth around, right? Or what we consider truth, what they consider untruth, and is going to be censored. And what easy way to just give a good kick in the kneecaps, but to get rid of all of our automated ability to post and search news to get information out there. And I got to tell you, especially being sick, oh my God. And I just lost like a right arm with this because this was something that have freed up half my day so I could do other things. And now either I just don't post news, I don't read news, or I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. But right now, I don't have the energy to deal with it. So there are no news feeds right now for my stuff. And if I see a news story to post, I post it. But otherwise, I don't have the energy to do it. I'm just too tired right now and sick. But to get back to this TPP, something that we had talked about is the clamping down on copyright. And I was just reading again, they are talking about like actual jail time. With first offense, if you can even believe it. And people are like, what? Yeah, well, how about the Sarbanes-Oxley that we looked at a few weeks ago using a law that was to stop in, I don't know if it was insider trading, but it was like that. Oh, God, it's Monday and my brain is still half dead. Whatever that oil deal was, Exelon, no, Exxon, no. Whatever it was, that Sarbanes-Oxley in 2002 had to be passed because there was all kinds of corruption that happened. And they had to apply all kinds of new laws for privacy and banking and insider trading and whatever. But Sarbanes-Oxley, now they are turning that law around. And like I said, we looked at that a few weeks ago. To come after individuals, and they were using it against a taxi driver that was a friend of the Boston bombers, that he didn't do anything wrong at all. He isn't accused of any crime, but when they went to investigate him, they found that shortly after the bombing, he had gone into his browser history and it deleted it all. And so they are charging him with obstruction of justice under the Sarbanes-Oxley law, which was only supposed to be for corporations, not for individuals, where he could face up to 20 years in prison. Now, how insane is that? 20 years in prison for deleting browser history, charged with obstruction of justice. Yet here we're watching like Trey Gowdy going after the Lois Lerner emails and the IRS, and now we're looking at, Hillary Clinton, and all these emails are now missing, and they're like, oh, well, let's pull some more teeth. I saw they're getting emails now for Clinton out of people that she sent them to, and there ends up there's all kinds of emails, of course, since they gave Hillary free rein to delete, she's like, well, they were my personal emails on my personal server. I wasn't, it was up to me to determine what was State Department business. They're finding out, of course, we knew that she deleted all kinds of stuff that actually had backdoor butt slapping, slippery palm stuff going on in it. And nobody's getting prosecuted for this. No one's getting prosecuted, but we have a taxi cab driver who. Who knows? I mean, if I were friends with the Boston bombers, I probably, regardless if I would have done anything wrong, I probably would have done the exact same thing. Fuck that. I'm not going to leave my browser history for someone to come poking through it. And now he's up for 20, potentially 20 years for obstruction of justice. So don't think that putting teeth for $1 million fine on first offense of copyright law is anything that can't be implemented, because it most certainly can. Something I mentioned on Friday, and the stories are still open upstairs, but I didn't share them with myself, were the stories on Kim.com. And I mentioned this Friday in his programmer. Kim.com had a file sharing site out of New Zealand, and somehow the long arm of the law of the United States managed to reach over there, working in conjunction with another government that has stepped in step with the United States, just like Canada, Australia, New Zealand as well. And I'm so disappointed in New Zealand because it used to be this little independent in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, no nukes, keep your nuclear subs out of our ports. I mean, for many, many years, they actually closed down all trade back in the 70s because they had such a huge trade deficit, and their currency was worth so little money that they shut all international trade and said, screw you, we're not taking any imports, and we're going to work on getting our internal value back up again. And I mean, I remember when I was there, we didn't, what year was it? 77, 7. There, my one aunt didn't even have a flush toilet. We had a bucket. Okay, that's how. I mean, it's 77, and we at least have flush toilets here. You know, they had a bucket that had to be dragged out to the garden every couple of days and dumped and buried. They were hurting because they didn't have trade with the outside world. But you know what? When they finally came back and they opened their borders, they were strong again. They worked on their country, and you know what happened to those days of independent New Zealand? Because now I hear, and my family has no idea, but I hear that they're all over now buying up land, fracking. You have GMO seeds. Monsanto is in all over there trying to plant GMO crops. And New Zealanders, for the most part, are very happy, smiley, I think. I don't know. Some of them. Of course, the last time I was there, I was 9. But at least from what I remember, they were happy, smiley people. I mean, my family are all about, they don't say mean things about people like we do here. You know, they're definitely more, they think more with their hearts instead of with a forked tongue. Maybe not now, but at least back then. But anyway, it just makes me sad that they just have fallen into this trap, and they have a leader that is just as greedy as all the rest of them, that has sucked them into this vortex of hell that's happening. And it's depressing. That was like one of the last bastions of just unadulterated beauty and nature, and it's all going to go to shit now. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So New Zealand is a part of this too, the TPP, this whole Pacific Rim. But they had stepped in, and the long arm of the U.S. law, and went after Kim.com and their New Zealand's prime minister or whatever he is. I don't think he's a president. I think they have a prime minister. Had pretty much served him up. Now, they didn't extradite him, which I was surprised, but they did allow them, the U.S. government, to seize all of his assets. They had a trial for him in absentia. They would not allow him to be part of the trial unless he was here for extradition. But his programmer came, cut a deal, and he got a year in prison, like I said, on Friday, just for creating the website. You know, we also see Albrecht, the Silk Road dude, he just got life in prison with no chance of parole. I mean, guys, this is insane. And this is for online crime that really, I mean, a few years ago wasn't really even considered online crime. How many people haven't, like, downloaded something? Or how many people haven't, you know, gone to the hacker website? I mean, especially those of us who have been around since the Wild West days, we were all hackers in the beginning. And don't think that this TPP and this whole censorship and, you know, cutting off RSS feeds and spying on everyone. And I was just reading a story yesterday. There's some add-on that is with Chromium, which is some sort of like souped up version of Chrome browser, I guess, that has this where you can speak your searches. But I guess that to have the speech recognition turned off, you need to opt out of it at installation. So if you don't realize that there's like speech rec in there, then the speech rec is installed as default on. And somebody somewhere, who the hell knows where, is getting everything that's said in your room by default. And when we first started this radio network, anyone who's been listening that long remembers me telling the story about how I was having so many issues when we first were getting the stream up and running. I'm getting all this echo and stuff. And I'm like, where the hell is that coming from? People, your camera, even if it's off, I don't know if everybody knows this, but if your camera is plugged in, even if it's off, even if no application is accessing it at all, okay? It's the light's not on. It's sitting there black on the top of your monitor. Guess what? Your microphone is still open. And if you go into the bowels of Windows down under sound options, you will see the equalizer moving with your voice because it's sending it somewhere. So just know that. I mean, anyway, Not that we didn't know all of this is going on, but TPP is going to give them the tools that they need to now prosecute all of us. And, you know, another story that we're going to talk about, and I have a clip here to look at, was this Pentagon declaring journalists belligerent combatants, unprivileged belligerents, that's what it was, to be able to literally kill journalists. Well, I mean, again, that's been happening all along. Michael Hastings, good example, car doing 150 miles an hour into a tree, bang, whoops. And then we find out from DARPA that, yes, cars can be remotely controlled. We also had this doctor over the weekend, the one that he was fishing, I think it was in North Carolina, and he was pretty prominent in the link between vaccines and autism. I don't think he was the one that discovered it, but he'd been very vocal, and he was a pretty well-known doctor. And honestly, I don't remember his name right now, but I'm not looking at the computer, so we'll get back there if I find it. But he quote unquote committed suicide while fishing in a boat in North Carolina by shooting himself in the chest. And a fisherman found him in the water. They found the gun in the water, and the police said that he, quote unquote, committed suicide. I did see that the family has started a GoFundMe page because they said it looks fishier than anything. Just before this happened, too, there was some mysterious Fed raid of his practice. And you know how that happens, especially if you're a professional and you come out against the system, they make sure they take you out. And I mean, not literally, usually it's some sort of legal way that they take you out. But like all of us have seen before, being suicided with your hands duct taped behind your back and a gunshot in the back of the head usually means foul play. This one happened to be in the chest. All right, I had to get rid of a lung there. Let's see. First of all, I got to see if I don't think I have a stream playing. Okay, let me see if I can pull myself in because I want to play this, just this little TPP clip. This is talking about the TPA going through, which I already did. And does anybody know, though? I don't even have chat up, so I'll have to get there. I'm really behind, guys. Got to tell you, I usually up around 7 on show days, and I didn't get up till 9:30, and then by the time I had coffee, I'm like, oh God, it's time again. It just never ends. What's my name? And it's Monday to boot, so it's like double whammy. J, right? My name starts with J. There we go. All right, let me see if I could get myself in. Da, 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 da. Oh, yes, it's ringing. Good. What is that hiss? It was doing that the other day, too. All right, so anyway, this TPP, this little clip that I saw somebody post yesterday, even though it talks about the TPA, I thought it was a pretty good representation of what's going on. And I do want to talk about the Japanese food and how Japan's trying to force the radioactive food on everyone. But let's listen to this first.
Right now, big banking, software, pharmaceutical, and tobacco corporations are lobbying governments from 12 countries to negotiate the dirtiest deal you've never heard of.
So that's great. Big banking. Let's hear that one more time, because that was like a gaggle of dirty geese, a gaggle of criminals. Here they come.
Right now, big banking, software, pharmaceutical, and tobacco corporations are lobbying governments from 12 countries to negotiate the dirtiest deal you've never heard of. There's a reason you haven't heard of the TPP, or Trans-Pacific Partnership. There are some major corporations and government officials that don't want you to know what's in the deal. For one, our food safety standards, environmental protections, and local labor laws could all be threatened under the TPP. We could all be forced to pay significantly more for the medicines we need, and you could be fined or even sent to jail for downloading copyrighted content on the internet.
There you go. And I mean, the drug deal, too, we talked about that last week, how their copyright protections and patent protections, they're going to allow Big Pharma to keep patent protections on name brand drugs way longer than what it is now. So, generic pharmaceuticals can't be produced and sold to those of us who can't afford the $1,000 pill drugs. Remember, there was something that we listened to a while ago where they were saying that, you know, these new drugs that they're developing, these aren't for poor people. None of this is for poor people. I mean, even this transhumanism bullshit, oh, we're going to put nanobots into your bloodstream to route out your arteries. Wait till you see this new one. That isn't for you and me. The only thing that's for you and me is to be used as the guinea pig for them to get it to version 2 or 3.0 till it's all perfected. And then Queen Mother is going to get her longevity treatment to live forever. But back to this copyright protection. Yeah, I mean, all these torrent sites, and again, that Kim.com mega upload, that was one of them where they had downloads. They have been tracking people who go to those sites for a very long time. And I had read something the one day where they've been keeping those addresses. So one day you might actually have something show up in the mail saying that you owe them $6,872 for your infringement of copyright for watching King of Thrones or something.
How will they know if you do it? Because your internet service providers could be required to watch your online activity. But that's not even the scariest part. The TPP gives corporations the power to sue our government in secret foreign tribunals over any law or regulation they claim affects their expected future profits.
Yes, now ding, because right now, see, that was one, being able to sue our government. So let's say we talked about a few weeks back with Congress pushing to get rid of the country of origin labeling laws on meats, especially, right? I think that's what it was about, or maybe it was just everything in general, but it was the country of origin between Canada and Mexico and the United States. And Canada and Mexico had gone to the World Trade Organization and they were crying that it was unfair to them in the U.S. marketplace, because when they labeled that the meat came from Mexico, let's say, people were biased against that and they weren't buying the Mexican meat. And so they went to the World Trade Organization and said, boo hoo hoo, this is no fair. And I'm wondering if it isn't under NAFTA that they did that. I didn't see what trade agreement it was. But they're like, boo hoo hoo, this isn't fair. We want them to sell our beef. And by labeling it, it now makes people not want to buy it. And it sounds very similar to the whole GMO argument, right? This is what Monsanto and all the companies that were putting GMO products into their foods were saying the same thing, that, you know, if we labeled it GMO, then people aren't going to buy it. Well, then maybe people don't want it. So, you know what? An easy way to get around that is just not to label it anymore. But what? So, right, that's what they're pushing now, and that's what part of this new law is, but they've already been pushing it even before the law went through. But back to the country of origin, they went to the World Trade Organization to try to force the United States to either remove the labeling or to pay a penalty to them for lost business. And, I mean, that's already in the works, and that's before the TPP passed. Well, now I saw, and we talked about this as well, Japan has gone after South Korea and, oh, I think it was Taiwan. And now they're trying to force China, too, to sell their radioactive freaking fish. They don't want to sell their fish. And again, Japan then went to the World Trade Organization and cried about it. Now, I saw an update yesterday. Japan and South Korea were going to try to have their negotiations about this and try to come to a satisfactory agreement over what they were going to do, and that hasn't happened now. So who knows what the next step is? Does South Korea get sued by Japan now? I don't know, but how interesting that these countries are all part of this, you know, these global trade agreements.
Don't believe it? It's already happening. Recently, after Canada said U.S. big pharma corporation Eli Lilly's drug price raising patents were not legit, the firm sued the Canadian taxpayers for a staggering $500 million.
Oh, I didn't know about that one. So let's flip it around. Eli Lilly got to sue Canada.
Now billions of dollars are being demanded from Germany after it decided to phase out nuclear power following the Fukushima disaster and improve environmental standards for coal-fired electric plants. Philip Morris and Chevron are in on the game too, raiding taxpayer dollars and trying to reverse crucial policies we all rely on. Thankfully, not everyone is willing to sign on the dotted line just yet. In fact, most government officials still have no idea what they're even signing on to, for good reason. So far, Democrats and Republicans in the House of Representatives have united against fast-tracking the TPP.
Bing. Well, that was then. This is now. Like we said on Friday, something happened on the back end, and everybody had a change of heart, and they just all inked it up on Thursday, and then last week, like Wednesday, was the Senate. The House had done it on the Thursday before, the second time through, and then the Senate on Wednesday. I don't know if it made it to Obama's desk yet, but I had read that they were planning on inking it by last Friday.
But there is a mighty corporate lobby that wants to make sure the deal is signed and railroaded quickly through Congress before we know about the damage it will cause us. We must get our senators and representatives to stop fast track. Here's the deal. Without a strong public outcry, politicians will only hear the concerns of multinational corporations. And once the TPP is signed, it's here forever. There's no expiration date and no separation clause.
Now, did you know that? Because I know I didn't. So it's secret. There's no exit. There's no expiration. It is here forever. And step in global government run by multinational corporations who do not have you, me, our children, our future, our environment, anything in our best interest at all.
This dirty deal has been deliberately branded as a free trade agreement. It is anything but free for people like you and me. And it's not really about trade. It could cost us our internet freedom, labor rights, access to affordable medicine, the safety of our food, and protections that keep our water and air clean. Nobody wants to be stuck with a backroom deal we don't want and never voted for. Find out more, speak up, and spread the word.
How frightening is that? Because that happened already. Now here, expose the TPP.org. Let's go out there really quick. Expose the TPP.org. I want to see if Obama inked that fast track. So like I said, I've been in a coma all weekend. That video we just watched is in the center of that. Here, let me kill Skype quick. Yeah, that's the red button. There we go. Expose the TPP.org is the site I just went to. In the center is that video I just played. I don't see any updates here, though. Learn more, take action, newsroom, maybe right there. Let's go there. June 8th is the last update, so who knows? Wow, that is not so updated considering it's June 29th. There's a whole bunch of videos, though, under the newsroom. I'm not going to watch these right now, but guys, this is very, 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 very bad news. I mean, if you haven't figured that one out, and, you know, there are still people who insist that NAFTA did a good thing. And if you lived in the Northeast, you would say that NAFTA did not do a good thing. Maybe in other parts of the country, like down near the Mexican border, but not in the Northeast where our nation's manufacturing used to be. In the rust bucket up here around the Great Lakes. It all went to hell after that. All right. There was one other thing I wanted to catch before we continued, and my brain is just like totally, totally out of it today. But I guess that's fine. We'll find. Oh, I know. I was going to my Fukushima facts page. That's it. Hold on. Hey, it's Monday. You guys give me a pass. You know, I got to tell you, too, just looking at my feeds this weekend, I mean, has the world just completely gone, like, off the rails? Completely insane. I mean, people, there's no logic anymore. People are putting together some of the most retarded, like 2 and 2 equals 12 and 2 and 2 equals a Confederate flag and a Robert E. Lee. I mean, I'm like, what? I can't even. 2 and 2 equals gun control and gay marriage, and now polygamy should be legal, and how about NAMBLA? The world is, people, what is going on here? It is not about me, me, me. This is like all these people are standing up going, well, I need rights. Well, I need rights. What? No, it's not about each individual group needs rights and let's separate everyone and get them all fighting amongst each other. That's, people just don't seem to see what the PSYOP is, and people are so easily distracted by dangling carrots and shiny baubles. I can't get over how simplistic the human brain is these days. I mean, really, as I'm like looking at news, I'm thinking to myself, we are just fucking doomed. If this, you know, who was it, Nathan, that I heard him saying last night about some comedians now are being instructed. Yeah, it was his show last night. Not to go near college campuses anymore because they're like so left-wing, politically correct that like jokes aren't even funny anymore. I mean, part of my heritage is Polish, okay? So don't think I didn't grow up with lots of Polish jokes. And you know what? I never once was offended. Get over it, whiny mamby-pambies. I just can't get over how absolutely, you know, JJ's favorite expression, professionally appalled people are all the time. Get over it. You know what? I wasn't a success in my life and my career because every time I had a failure, I went and cried in a corner and couldn't do it anymore because someone made fun of me. I turned around and said, fuck you, asshole, and went and did something else. You know, I mean, get a thick skin and just let it roll off and be an adult. Stop being big crybabies, because that's what we are. We're a nation of big crybabies that need big government to come take care of us. And now everybody's like the spoiled little fucking kid that wants their candy too. And I'm so sick of it. It's not about your candy or your candy or your candy. It's about the big, nasty, scary uncle, I don't know, Uncle Harry from who knows where that's molesting children in the closet. They're all coming to take us. I want to get rid of the child molesters in the closet, and that's all the big corporations that are taking things over while we are all distracted with this baby shit. We have been groomed to be a culture of baby whiner. I can't do anything for myself. You know what? Get your hands dirty. Get your fingernails dirty. Try not taking a shower for a couple days. Go fix something. Go build something. Go ride an ATV and get covered in mud from head to toe so you got a half inch of dirt in your hair. And then crack a beer and not give a shit how dirty you are. You know what? We need to get back to where we are not this groomed, perfect society where every hair has to be in place and we give two shits about what anyone else thinks about us. Because that's the problem. That is the problem. It is a society of complete and utter narcissists that have now created this. I don't give a shit about your issues. I don't give a shit about your hair. I don't give a shit about where you bought your clothes. I give a shit about where my country's going to be here in even 5 years from now. Used to be 20 years when the robots are coming. Actually, that's only 5 years because they said 2020 or 2025. But I care even less about whether or not you have, you know, Abercrombie and Fitch shirts, you know what I mean? Like back in the day, and they started this way back when, in the 80s, I did my alligator shirts and my Levi's, and I had to make sure I didn't wear the same thing twice in a month because somebody might notice, and oh my God, every hair has to be in place and hairsprayed. And if you only saw me now. All right, I think I ranted enough. Anyway, I don't need to go to Fukushima facts. I told you guys already about the story. So Japan is trying to force their food down the throats of Taiwan and South Korea, and they're suing them. Don't think that isn't going to happen here. I actually saw a story the other day, too, and I think I did post that on Before the First Cup. By the way, I know you guys are all afraid of Facebook, but my pages, even though they're not feeding out right now, I do have all my pages set to public. So if you don't have an account, you still can read the news if you go out there. Any website you go to is going to be able to snag your IP unless you're going through some sort of VPN or hidemyass.com. I think that's what it's called. Hidemyass.com. But wait, I'm trying to find it. I want to find the Japanese tea. Japanese tea's been showing up. I had mentioned that a while back that they were trying to sneak it in through Canada at one point. Oh, here. Yeah. Now it's also showing up in Taiwan. New contaminated Japanese tea shows up in Taiwan. Taiwan's FDA published some new radiation testing results in the last week. On June 16, 2015, they found two samples of Japanese teas with cesium contamination. One was a roasted Japanese tea that tested 18.8 becquerels per kilogram of combined cesium. The second was a Japanese tea blend of a matcha green tea and brown rice. That product tested 9.5 becquerels per kilogram. I was going to say, too, stay away from Japanese fish, Japanese rice, Japanese tea. And remember, Hillary Clinton said way back in 2011 that the Japanese economy was the most important economy to the United States. So don't think that the second that they can hide the pickle, because Hillary's good at hiding the pickle, the second that they can hide the pickle, they're going to be shipping this shit in and mixing it up in all of our food supply where they legally won't have to tell you. And I mean, right now, country of origin is very difficult to find, but they legally will not have to tell you at all that there's radioactive shit in your food. And FDA and USDA doesn't seem to care. And what did we learn a few weeks ago? Oh, the foreign countries are now responsible for inspecting their own foods because what? We don't have enough inspectors to keep up with all the imports. Remember? Yeah. All right. This is while both samples were under the levels where Japan or Taiwan would pull the products from market. Yes, because what? They probably upped all of the allowable radiation in food products a couple times already in the last 4 years. They do show that some foods continue to be contaminated. Tests were done after Taiwan. Oh, yes, raised their import requirement on foods from Japan. Did they really? Because Taiwan is now getting sued by the World Trade Organization for not accepting Japanese products. All right. Anyway, I want to get back. So we're still on the TPP, though. This is what we're talking about, these international trade agreements and all the different ways they could fuck up your life and mine. And one of the ways is by clamping down on freedom of speech, clamping down. It's going to be the new world order coming in all over you and making it messy. Well, the story that came out on, the 24th, so this was 5 days ago, out of RT, Pentagon rewrites law of war, declaring belligerent journalists as legitimate targets. Yes, if not to add insult to injury, not only are they going to prevent us from, whoa, that was weird. Not only are they going to prevent us from sharing information online, FCC also, don't forget, the FCC now runs the internet, so it's a federal entity. Remember, too, that Obama inked an executive order that brought all the big corporations in under the spy heading to help keep America safe because they're all going to be spying and watching for security. Well, now on top of all that, if you have anything to say that isn't towing the line, stop for a second, honey. She jumped the gun. If you have something to say that isn't towing the line, it has now been made legal under the war law, whatever it was called, the law of war, that you declaring yourself a journalist has now made yourself a big fat target with a red dot in the center and a bullseye around it. And here we go.
Earlier this month, the Pentagon published a book titled The Department of Defense Law of War Manual, which is in essence the Pentagon's rules of engagement, breaking down everything from the DoD's position on CIA drone strikes, which surprise they favor, and how police should be viewed in times of war. And one part that sticks out is how the Pentagon defines journalists. Joining me now to discuss is Chris Chambers, journalism professor at Georgetown University. Chris, thanks for coming out here today. So this manual is pretty massive. It's over 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to read it all, but I looked into how they define journalists, and I want to read it to you. They say, in general, journalists are civilians. However, journalists may be members of the armed forces, persons authorized to accompany the armed forces, or unprivileged belligerents. What does that mean to you?
I don't know what it means, because the Geneva Convention, other tenets of international law, even United States, you know, law on this, and federal courts have spoken on this, doesn't have this thing called unprivileged belligerence. I mean, you're either an embedded reporter, you're a reporter for Stars and Stripes with the Army, so you're a member of the armed forces, or you're not. You're either a civilian or you're a soldier. But even if you're a soldier, you still have protections under the Geneva Convention. You can't be tortured. You can't be deprived of food, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't understand where this is coming from or what empirical data they are basing this on.
Right, or what they...
It's interesting that this guy is a professor of journalism, and he's even majorly confused as to where they're coming from on this. Guys, put on a seatbelt. 1984 was a couple years late, but I think it finally arrived.
Implications are, I mean, I guess I interpret it as very specific language, right? They say persons authorized to accompany the forces, as you said, that would be embedded journalists.
Right.
So doesn't this already just favor embedded journalists over independent journalists who may be in war zones?
There are two troubling things about this. First, it gives them license to attack or even murder mm-hmm. journalists that they don't particularly like but aren't really on the other side. So it might be somebody from RT or Al Jazeera or whomever, you know.
Somebody who isn't dubbed and picked to be embedded with them. Somebody who is an investigative journalist who's on the street with their, cell phone camera filming something that they shouldn't be filming, that they don't want to have filmed, perhaps.
Was, a French station, a German station, a Chinese station that they don't like there. And it can also mean people who are just there observing kind of as neutrals. You know, I mean, it would basically excuse the murder of those journalists that, you know, that made WikiLeaks famous.
I was just going to bring that up. I think we have the video, the collateral murder video that WikiLeaks famously released. But you can see the two journalists right there. They worked for Reuters, and they were completely targeted in that strike. And we know, I guess, Obama's definition of an enemy combatant is anyone of military age, a man of military age, right? So then,
who happens to be there?
Right. So now this guideline just seems to be a version of that, even if they are carrying a camera.
Yeah.
You know, and we've actually had quite a few of those clips with journalists getting killed over the last year or so. There's been quite a number of them. And it's very surprising, considering that at least in the United States, that the First Amendment does protect press freedom. But I guess it doesn't say anything about how you can't be assassinated if they don't like what you say.
Geneva Convention is pretty clear on this. And even before 1977, when there was a change defining journalists as civilians, period, end of story, mm-hmm. even then journalists were given some kind of protection. I mean, they had to be providing like material help to the enemy. They had to be like toting weapons.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting, too, because there was a story that I saw a little while back that it talked about one of the Al Jazeera journalists, and I don't know if that was what that WikiLeaks clip that they were showing where they were just executing the journalists as part of attacking ISIS or whatever, but they had said or accused Al Jazeera or Press TV, it was one of them, that their journalist was like a double agent working for the government. And I mean, yeah, it's possible, but on the flip side, what a slippery slope that is, because now this is just giving giving them free rein, then if they decide that they don't like you and you're getting in their way and you're getting into shit you shouldn't be into, oh, well, goodbye. Sorry. You were collateral damage.
Or maybe de facto spies, basically, is what people are talking about. There's an exception for spies in the, you know, in military law and international law, but they're not talking about that. They're talking about journalists, you know, making a new category to put journalists in where they have no proof that this has even occurred.
Right, and they're trying to, I guess, in one article I read in the Washington Times, make it about people sending people who aren't journalists into a zone as a spy, but. It doesn't, need for a free press kind of outweigh, does that even happen?
I don't know. I mean, again, they need to explain. Are there like people who are bloggers that are entering a war zone on behalf of ISIS or something?
That's exactly it. Bazing! Yes, all those bloggers entering war zones on behalf of ISIS with their dildo flags.
Don't know. And again, this could be used against foreign press and their stringers who were just there, as in Baghdad, you know, and Reuters people, you know, they were Reuters employees.
Oh, those were Reuters. But yeah, there was an incident very similar to that. I don't remember if it was Press TV journalist or an Al Jazeera journalist, but they had gotten killed as well in another skirmish like that.
And their stringers there take, you know, as journalists,
right,
that they just don't want in the way. So they kill them.
It's really disturbing language, I guess, but the Pentagon did not respond to our producer's request to define what unprivileged
belligerents
mean. I'm
sure their legal department is going over it, and is the National Press Club and the Society of Professional Journalists, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Journalism professor at Georgetown University, Chris Chambers, thank you.
Thank you.
So there you go. I mean, the war has been out for a while, and when you, at the very beginning, you had said something about the police as well. And it makes you wonder, you know, I mean, a lot of the stuff that ends up in the homeland starts over. I mean, especially if DARPA has anything to do with it, starts over in the war zone and then trickles over this direction. And if they decide that journalists are belligerent, unprivileged belligerents, which is some new legal term that no one's ever heard of, you know, don't think for a second that that isn't going to trickle over to people filming police beating the shit out of somebody, or, you know, people seeing things that they shouldn't be seeing and deeming them as some sort of threat, whether it be a terroristic threat or just a threat to, you know, I mean, they're already trying to do that. The officer, because they were filming behind them and it was making the officer nervous. A lot of that was struck down, and it was ruled in this country that it is 100% legal for people to film police. But I have a feeling that that is going to change in the near future. All right. Well, we got about less than 10 minutes left. I'm going to change gears here a little bit. Not quite sure what I want to look at, though. We got some Google stuff and some robotic stuff. But I don't know. TPP and these international agreements are kind of where we were on before. Actually, here, let's lock it all down. So in the middle of all of this crazy crap, the distractions, the dangling carrots that everybody's chasing because they're so damn narcissistic. Remember, not only was it the Confederate flag, but it was a shooting in a church. Oh my. Well, guess what? We just put another facet to this. The church shooting is now going to lead to church facial recognition software. Because, of course, churches need it, and they could probably get it under their 1033 agreement to track congregants. So you don't have some little white boy sitting in the back row for an hour in a bulletproof vest who you don't recognize with a gun hidden apparently somewhere and nobody noticed. Because now when everyone comes into your congregation, they're going to be recognized and approved. Churches are joining the widening club of entities using Big Brother-style facial recognition software to track people. And they are doing it in secret, according to a producer of a specialized program designed for religious institutions. In just 4 months, some 30 churches around the world, from Indonesia to India to Portugal and the U.S., have started using a facial recognition software called Churchix, says Moshe Greenspan. Moshe, I wonder where he's from. The CEO of, yes, Israeli and Las Vegas-based company Face6 that sells the technology. Wow, a church is going to use a piece of software from Face6. It might as well be called Face666. The program is a derivative of other products that his company offers to clients, such as law enforcement, public venues, and retail outlets. In the beginning, I was surprised. We never thought of churches as potential clients, but hey, then we had shootings. We were like, hey, there's another good place to put our software. No, he didn't say that. But now we understand the need, he says. Yes, Israel, making sure we get facial recognition software top to bottom. Most churches do already keep track of their members, he says in an interview. Churchix uses CCTV footage or photos to match churchgoers against a database of high-resolution pictures that a church has to compile on its own. The software can then be used to monitor attendance numbers and alert church officials if some of its members stop coming to services. Oh, wow. It also can screen for people banned from the church, says Greenspan. He would not identify the churches that are using the software, citing the controversial nature of the technology. Facial recognition is considered too invasive a tool by privacy advocates, allowing governments and companies to track people offline on the same scale that electronic surveillance is conducted today. Churchix works better when used openly, with visitors passing a quote-unquote checkpoint, oh my God, and voluntarily registering by looking into a camera. Next thing it's going to be, that 230 point is going to be to open doors. You just wait. To buy things. It's going to be our thumbprint of tomorrow. This looking into the camera would give a 99% accuracy, the company says, but apparently the users prefer not to draw unwanted attention to the tracking software. I don't think churches tell people, Greenspan told Fusion TV. We encourage them to do so, but I don't think they do. So your church is lying to you. Your church is spying on you. People, the world has been flipped upside down, and they got us by the ankles, and they're shaking us, trying to see what comes out of our pockets. I just can't get over this. Greenspan, however, insists his software is not a game changer, as churches have been tracking their congregants manually for ages. Remember, churches have been part of this 1033 program at least since like 2005 or 2006. They've been able to sign up with their 501c3 and get all kinds of equipment. Churchix only makes it possible for medium and large churches, he explains. Facial recognition technology and other biometric identification tools are outpacing attempts to regulate them. In the U.S., only Illinois and Texas have laws that demand consent of people. In both cases, they predate the emergence of facial recognition. Well, go Texas, man. Everybody should have to give, just like recording phone calls on both sides, everybody should have to give consent for being surveilled upon. I do not consent. How is that? All right, there's a little video here, and we got like 2 minutes, so let's see what it says. Maybe if it plays, I don't know. If it doesn't, we'll do something else. Come on. Let's try this one more time. Oh, looky, looky, looky. Nothing loads. So whatever. I'm going to kill this. They love to ruin the end of my show, don't they? So, all right. We're not going to do that one. So let's see. We'll do the Googlebots in your blood. Let me find it quick. Let me find it quick. There are Google bots in your blood. Here it is. Micro scale, quote unquote, transformer robots are joining forces to break through blocked arteries. Yes, I said it. Micro scale transformer robots, swarms, and swarm technology to boot, swarms of microscopic magnetic robotic beads could be scrubbing in next to the world's top vascular surgeons, all taking aim at blocked arteries. These micro robots, which look and move like corkscrew-shaped bacteria, well, that's interesting, are being developed by mechanical engineers at Drexel University as part of a surgical toolkit being assembled by the Daegu Gingelbuk Institute of Science and Technology in South Korea. Min Jung Kim, PhD, a professor in the College of Engineering and director of the Biological Actuization Sensing and Transport Laboratory at Drexel, is adding his team's extensive work in bio-inspired micro robotics to an $18 million international research initiative from the Korean Evaluation Institute of Industrial Technology, set on creating a minimally invasive micro robot assisted procedure for dealing with blocked arteries within the next 5 years. The government-funded entity in Daegu, South Korea, is the leader of 11 of an 11-institution partnership, which includes some of the top engineers and roboticists in the world. Drexel's team, the lone representative from the United States, is already well on its way to tailoring robotic, quote-unquote, micro-swimmer technology for clearing arteries. Microrobotics is still rather a nascent field of study and very much in its infancy when it comes to medical applications. A project like this, because it is supported by leading institutions, has such a challenging goal. It is an opportunity to push both medicine and micro robotics into a new and exciting place. Yes, in your arteries are the new and exciting places, soon to be probably your brain. Who the hell knows? This is just insane. And they also have artificial blood coming very soon. I saw that they're talking within the next year or two of putting the artificial blood into humans. So maybe we'll take a look at that tomorrow. All right, guys. Well, guess what? I made it through the Monday show. I am still breathing, too, which is a good thing. Make sure you stick around because it is Monday. I have a brand new show by Mr. Brandon Turberville that I got to cut after this. We have some new Ocelli Effect rewinds that I'm going to add to the mix them up tonight. So there will be some new shows there. I also moved. We got Alan Watt running replay after Brandon, and there's a bunch of shows that we didn't air that were before we started airing him, so I'm going to run those there and Anti-Media Live with Nick and DB11. All right, guys, everyone have an awesome Monday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everyone take care.